Well, welcome to Digging Deeper. This is episode number I don't know, and who knows?
Who cares?
And today we are here with the behind-the-scenes mastermind of the Digging Deeper podcast.
Ooh, the mastermind.
Mr. Carl Palmer. I mean, it's an amazing... I had had it in my heart and mind for many years to do something like this, but you just kept saying, you should do a podcast, you should do a podcast, the church should have a podcast.
Yeah.
And actually, the name, you just took it straight out of our small group thing and said, that should be the name of the podcast.
Exactly.
So... Yeah. Kudos and credit to you on that. That's a great name, and it just makes so much sense, you know, because it just ties into all kinds of things that we have here.
Well, and I think I was telling you on the phone when we were having this long conversation about it, and of course, you know, keep poking the bear on it. it was that, you know, you got the tools, you got the talent, you have the people to make an impact where some churches aren't doing. So I think that this here, you know, first of all, I'm thankful for having me. Thank you. Very appreciative of it because I really love doing this kind of stuff. But it's something to where you can get to know someone on a more personal level instead of just on Sundays.
Yes.
Because this can be the same exact conversation over and over again every Sunday for years and years. How are things? How are the kids? You know, all that kind of stuff. But it's not more of that, like, unless you're in a small group, join small groups. but unless you're in a small group where you got to actually, you know, be more interactive with the people in the church. But, I mean, there are some people that, you know, have been coming to church I haven't even spoke to yet. And I've been coming for, what, almost 3 years now? So, you know, it's just... People can get more familiar with me as well. So,
that's
I mean,
great.
It's kind of like, you know, opening the door, breaking down the walls, you know, kind of thing to where it's like, you know, get to know some of the people who attend church.
That's great. So let me formally say your name because I think I just bypassed quickly through it by calling you the arch mastermind or something. So this is Carl Palmer, and Carl has been in ministry himself for many years.
Many years.
He is a pastor's kid.
Ooh.
In fact, you may have seen his dad, Wayne, preach on Sunday. Days. Mm. Carl speaks at our men's thing frequently.
Yes, that's a blessing.
He does all kinds of different things around the church. But what I wanted to do today, and there's no agenda, nothing scripted
which
here,
which I love,
is just kind of dive into a little bit of your own story.
Sure.
And a little bit of what it's like specifically growing up as a pastor's kid, and then how that has translated into an adult making your faith your own and, you know, understanding ministry in your own sense. So tell us a little bit about just like your upbringing, your family, and all of that. I mean, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, because I'm friends with your mom and dad, so
I
want them to like me at the end of this conversation, too.
Trust me, I've upset my parents so many times in my life, it's not even funny, so it's no big deal. Yeah, it's perfectly fine. My dad just goes like this, you know, what am I going to do? It's him, you know. You know, kudos to my dad for defending me, even though sometimes I'm wrong. But, so started all up. I think I was 3.5 years old. My dad decided to quit his really well-paying job to become a pastor. You know, 3 years old, so that's when the ball started rolling, you know. So started a big church. Oh, by the way, Anaheim bred. Not born, but I came home the next day in Anaheim. So, you know, I'm Anaheim to the heart. So love the city, first and foremost. It's my community, and there's nothing, there's no other special place in my heart than Anaheim. So shout out to all you Anaheimers.
Amen.
Anyway, so started a church in Anaheim. Anaheim Boulevard is my stomping grounds. You know, that's I know a few houses on Anaheim Boulevard that I've lived, including, you know, right here by Broadway. That church became a very, very popular church. To make a long story short, being raised in that has a lot of caveats and stuff. But we were either asked to leave or told, one of the two. But in hindsight, I was upset about it. But in long term, it was God, you know, pointing my family in the proper direction.
That must have been a painful thing to go through at the time.
Well, here's the thing: you're 14 years old. This is all you know.
Yeah,
this is it. This is all you know. All your friends, your inner circle, your bubble.
Yeah.
Right. This is all you know. You got Wednesday's Bible study, Sunday's church. You have outreaches on the weekends. You know, you're constantly involved on the basketball team, the baseball team, the football. You know, you're just very, very heavily involved. Two, and I remember the day we were in my dad's 1989 GMC pickup truck. First of all, let me rewind. It's on Sunday morning. I'm hanging out with my buddy Ronnie and my buddy Michael. This is how vivid I remember. He says, hey, son, we need to go. We got to go do something real quick. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Get in the truck. He makes a left onto La Palma. And he says, we're not going back. That's it. We're done. And that's all I got. You know, I'm just like, and you're at that age where you're just getting into your adolescent stage, and you're about to expand on your, you know, you're growing as a human being and developing your sense of self. And no, there's nothing. You go from feast to famine. So that transition was very difficult, and we can get into that as well. But he started another church, and at that time, I'm going to be honest, was not a fan. Okay, I'm just like, can we just get back to a sense of what I thought was normal? Well, I didn't understand what a sense of normal was, because all we knew was being involved in the church. That's what we do. It's what we do. You know, you don't call in, you crawl in. You know, broken arm, oh, well, suck it up, buttercup. Let's get back. And, you know, and that's how ministry was for us. I mean, it was no joke. We took it very serious. Yeah. You know. And that's just the way we're wired. I'm still wired that way. My sister's wired that way. The Palmers are wired differently. Let's just put it that way. Because, you know, we have a true heart for it, and we have a true want to serve, and really kind of, it's just part of our fiber, you know. But, you know, he started a new church, and I was kind of going through junior high, and I became a latchkey kid. Y'all know what a latchkey kid is? Parents give you a key. Good luck, you know, because you have to understand, at that time they had to start all over. There was no ministry. It's time to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to chop wood. So, you know, my dad started working, my mom started working, my sister started working too. She started working at 17. So she was already working and having her own life. So I was me by myself. So for a few years, it was a struggle for me until I finally, you know, I decided to switch schools, and that's when I learned late on developing my, you know, being around people. Because when I was going to school, I was going to continuation school, didn't know anything different, because it was through the church that's where I was going, is getting accredited. So when we no longer went to the church, I still had to go to school. So this is all I knew, right? I didn't know anything about junior high. I didn't know anything about high school. So my junior high years, I'm literally getting up, walking to school, 1.5 to 2 miles, and walking back. And little did I know that I'm basically surrounded by the bad kids. They all got kicked out of all the other Anaheim Union High School District schools. This is the last stand. And I thought it was normal, because in the ministry that I grew up in, well, I grew up in a ministry home. Now, if you don't know what a ministry home is, it's where a lot of people live together. You know, it's a community house for the most part. And I always tell this story. When I was a kid, I shared a room with a Blood, a Crip, a hippie, a sex offender. Let's leave it at that. It was a biker and like a former Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. And they're just, we all lived in the one room, you know. So this is the environment that I was used to. So I was used to different cultures, different ideas, different types of people in my life. So, and of course, a lot of them had addiction problems and addiction issues. So when you drop me into an environment that I'm familiar with, I didn't think any of them were bad. Come to find out, yeah, these are the worst kids that are in, they got kicked out of everywhere. But the one of the head counselors was like, why are you here? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought this was normal, right? Why are you here? Well, you don't have a record of any kind. You realize that, you know, this guy's in this gang, this guy's in this gang, this person did this, this person set the room on fire. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, well, thanks for opening my eyes to all of my friends. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. But he really encouraged me, you know, to think about moving, which I didn't, because I was like, well, that's my comfort zone, right? But sometimes you got to get out of it, and especially that one. Oh my goodness. So anyway, fast forward, there was a competition, an athletic competition. It was basketball, baseball, football, and volleyball, right? It's against another continuation school to get PE credits, right? So it's like, well, we got to do something, because kids have to graduate and they have to have these type of, PE's part of it. So sure enough, I was very successful in all the sports that we were playing. And that's when the teacher says, okay, I don't want to see you again. Plus, there was other, there's another, the person who ended up taking over the program, not a very nice human being, targeted me specifically. Basically, that was the decision to, okay, now you have no choice. You need to leave because you're not going to thrive here. He's purposely going to make sure that your life is miserable. So transferred over. I ended up going to Loera High School, CIF champs. Thank you very much. Football, love it. He pushed me towards going to Loera High School, and then that's where I was able to walk into that as a sophomore in high school, more like a junior. I was grade-wise, I thought I was a junior. Credits-wise, I was only a sophomore. So it gave me an extra year of high school, which I'm very thankful and grateful for that, because when I graduated, I'm not going to lie, when I graduated high school, we were at Glover Stadium. I'm sitting right next to Catlin Panoff. Love you, Catlin. I'm crying because I wanted another year because I feel like I got robbed of that. But during this transition of going to high school, still trying to figure out my relationship with God, it was a big time struggle because as a pastor's kid, you know, and I'll rewind, get back to how it was actually being a pastor's kid in a big church. Being a pastor's kid, when you're in public school, they kind of look at you weird, right? Because first of all, you're a Christian. That's very taboo back then. Now it's a little different, but then it's like, whoa, why are you claiming that, bro? Just be cool. Just be cool. Because the circle I hung around was not a very good circle. I mean, they were good guys. They were all good guys, but, you know, got in trouble from time to time. But, you know, with that, you know, going through that, kind of being torn between the world a little bit and wanting to be accepted by your peers, but yet you know that you're different because this is your background in church and, you know, understanding, you know, how to be right, act right, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you kind of get torn. So you're always in that internal struggle between yourself and, you know, what's good versus what's bad, what you really want to do versus what you shouldn't be doing, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I've had my rebellious years too, but we'll get into that. But now as far as being, you know, and then growing into that, it was very, it's a struggle, man. It's a really big struggle. Just being plucked out of a circle that's all you knew to the desert, you know, that's how it felt.
Sounds like you were plucked out of something at that church and couldn't be there. And then again, in this school that even though it wasn't the best school, it was still the community that you had.
It was something that I had, right? It was something that I felt that I belonged to, but I didn't belong, you know? Yeah. And hold that note right there for you because we'll talk about it in a little second about feeling belonged, right? Because it comes to a conversation that we had when we first met, which is very important we should share. So rewind, being a pastor's kid, there are some benefits to being a pastor's kid. Of course, you're the pastor's kid, right? You know, yes, that's right.
My kids love it because they can play in the church kids' rooms when they want to.
Yeah, there's
which really is like a random Saturday here and there as I have time and want to have them feel good about that.
Right. Well, here's the thing. The church never closed. So, I mean, the church was always open. There was always somebody working, someone always volunteering, somebody's always there. I mean, we did so much cool stuff, but also you also come under scrutiny that you're not aware of. Someone's always watching. Someone's always ready to tattle on you. Someone's ready to rat you out. You know, oh my gosh, he said the word butt. You know, you're like, wait, what? I'm confused. You know, it's just, you know, and then the worst thing could ever happen to a pastor's kid is that when a parent tells their child, I wish you were more like that person, you're just like, oh, it's your death nail, you know, and that puts more pressure on you, you know. And I think that unfortunately, when it comes to pastor's kids, they always say we're the worst ones, right? That's the joke. But there's a little kinship that pastor's kids can relate to as far as child stars, you know, because everybody's watching, especially when you're in a big church. Small church, you can kind of, you know, flow through. Mm-hmm. But when Wednesday night Bible studies, 6,000 people, church is 12,000 people on Sunday morning, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like you are constantly watched, looked, protected, but also scrutinized at the same time. So, and you know, you are targeted, you know, because your dad's the pastor. Okay. Because you're thinking a children's ministry of about 2,500 kids. Oh yeah, you're gonna have some issues in the play yard, you know. It is what it is, right? But you know, when you kind of go through that, I mean, there are many days where I'm like, I wish my dad wasn't a pastor, because that's his choice. That's not my choice, you know. And for a while, it was rough for me, and it was a struggle. But my dad always said, when you get older, you understand. I'm older. I understand now. You know, it's just like, you know, just you just don't understand at the time when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And you're just like, you know, you're giving your toys away that you just got for Christmas, half of them, because you, there's kids who got nothing, you know. And it was just like, it was a lot of teachable moments. But, man, I hated those teachable moments. Because I'm like, no, man, I already got some of my own toys, you know. It's like, wait a minute, you know. But, you know, it's about understanding about giving to people who have less than. You know, I was like, well, that kid doesn't have anything, but you got four, so give him two. You're like, no, I will not, you know, but I mean, that's the kid being a kid, you know, that's who we are. But I mean, as you get older, you know, things start to make sense. So all you young little pastor's kids out there, it'll make sense. Trust me. But, you know, being a pastor's kid, it's rough sometimes because there is that pressure. Now, when you become an adult, that's even worse, because there's like, hey, I saw him at a rock concert. Hey, I saw him at a rap concert. What's he doing there? And kudos to my dad. My dad's like, oh, what were you doing there? You know, it was just like, fire back a little bit. And we've had some people who, you know, have challenged me personally because of me being a pastor's kid that I should know better. And I'm like, so should you. And we're talking adults who are twice my age at the time. You know, I've always been a mouthy kid. I can talk trash with the best of them. My dad can protest to that. But, you know, that was my defense mechanism at the time anyway. So it's like, you know, you fight back words with words, you know, kind of stuff. But, you know, but being a pastor's kid as I get older, you know, it's through that process of how you absorb it, you know. And don't get me wrong, it was very difficult on my parents. I'm not going to lie. It was very difficult, you know, and especially on my sister, you know, because it's unnecessary pressure that you didn't never created, because you just want to be a kid, you just want to be a teenager, you know, you just want to be an adult. But when your dad has that reputation, you know, you always have to worry about the reputation of the parents. And I think sometimes, I mean, I could be wrong, but I could be right. The parents don't realize it either. So you just have to just be very careful, you know. No, you know, you can have, there's always good kids and bad kids, no matter what. Someone's a doctor, one's a lawyer, and they got bad kids too, or good kids. You know, just, it's literally, you know, my dad always said this, and it's very important. He said, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. You know, he literally put his trust in me and my sister in God's hands, you know, and we come out for the better. So I guess it worked.
Let me ask you a follow up on that. So you grew up in Christianity, but one thing that I often say to people is, it's like, okay, like, you can't ride on mom and dad's faith to get into heaven. Like, that doesn't work with Jesus. And so there does come a point where, even if you grew up in it and you understand it, you have to make that decision that, like, this mom and dad's faith is also my faith. Like, how did that happen for you?
Okay, great question. That's a fantastic question. Okay, so when My walk comes in waves. Okay, when I was a kid, there was a thing called the power team. Okay,
weren't they like power lifters?
You got it. Yeah. That's right. It was John Jacobs and the power team. You know, my gosh, it was great. It was, some of you guys know, help him, help him. Anyone who knows anything like that, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They used to travel all around the globe doing stuff. It was insane stuff. I mean, YouTube it. It's phenomenal what they did, but their main goal was to preach the word of God. So I got into it a little bit, but the one person that really got to me, because I was a knucklehead and a clown, was Mike Warnke, who was a Christian comedian in the 80s, late 80s, I think it was. And I said the sinner's prayer there at one of his things over at the Anaheim Convention Center. You know, every time I walk into that building, I still smell it. You know, if there's that smell. Certain buildings have a smell no matter what carpet you put in. It still has that smell. That same smell. That happened there. But then, of course, you still become a kid because you're a kid. You know, you're about Michael Jordan and the Bulls, or, you know, Patrick Ewing and the Knicks. And I'm a basketball guy. So, you know, that became my thing for a while. Then football came around, and that what became my church for a little bit. You know, my faith was there. Like, I knew I was saved, but I knew that I wasn't doing it right. But at that point, I didn't care, you know, because of my rebellious stage, you know. And for me, it really kind of honed in when I was on the football team, to where I was able to pray before the games, you know, and it turned into a habit. So it was like, okay, Carl, pray. It's like, oh, okay, fair enough. all right, let's do this, you know. And it really hyped the guys up, and you know, it was a blessing. I mean, we actually won a couple of games I didn't think we'd win, you know. It was just like, oh my gosh, this works, you know, kind of thing. And then, and then of course you had some people who on the football team who was like, hey bro, can you just kind of just pray for me a little bit? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem, we don't have to do it now. I'm like, yeah, I understand the subtleties of it, because it's just, you know, in high school to ask for something like that is huge. So I'm not gonna, you know, oh, let's do it right now, you know. It's like, no, it's they came in confidence, do it in confidence, kind of thing. But you know, as you develop, you know, in your 20s, you're just trying to, like I said, high school's over, and my plan I had set, that I thought I had set aside for college and what I wanted to do, that fell apart within 2 months before graduation. I went through a deep depression my senior year because, I mean, it was bad. Like, you could see it in the group photo. I'm just like, the, you know, that fake smile smirk. You're like, okay, I'm just going to smile for the camera kind of thing. My senior year was brutal for me because of just depression, because, you know, girlfriend dumped me. How dare she? You know, but it's just, but that was like the first like major heartbreak. So that was kind of just trying to figure that out. Got super upset because I met her through the church and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of rough when it's your first girlfriend and you're like 18. I'm like, okay, I'm this is weird. You know, just a lot of, I'm a late bloomer is what my mom says. I'm a late bloomer. But, you know, with that kind of going through that and some rebellious stages here and there, but I really didn't get super serious. Well, let me rewind a little bit. My senior year of high school, which kind of helped me get out of my funk, I was very fortunate enough to go to Israel. My first time at 19. And this was, I was graduating, I think it went in February, so I graduated in June. And that's where, you know, the Wailing Wall. That's where, oh boy, I'm getting emotional right now. The Wailing Wall, to where I was just like, okay, the sights are cool. You know, I got a bunch of stories I could tell. My mom will kill me if I tell them, so I'm not going to. But, you know, had a good time a couple of days in. This is fun, you know, being my silly self. But man, that going to the, oh my, goosebumps now.
Yeah,
you know. And that's where I was just like, that moment where you have uncontrollable sobbing, like just not weeping, it's just like you can't stop. You're trying, I'm playing the tough guy, I'm like, I can't do it. It's just buckets and buckets.
And if you don't know what the Wailing Wall is, it's a wall in Jerusalem, where it's the one of the sides of the temple that you can visit. And the Jewish people, they go there and basically they cry and they put prayers in the little nooks and crannies. And what they're praying for, basically the return of the temple, is it more or less that's what it is. Now, of course, as Christians, we know that Jesus is the temple. That temple is a one day he's going to return. He's going to reestablish his kingdom. We don't know when.
Right.
But, you know, to stand there, because I've been there too, I know that feeling of like, wow, this is not just some idea, something on a page. This is real. You can see, like, this is where it all happened. And then to know what it means because of Christ, I think it just means that much more.
Yeah, and it was very humbling for me. It really was, because when I put on the paper, I remember what I put on the paper is to get over whatever I'm going through. It was like, and that's what I put, whatever I'm going through. I don't know what it was at the time. Depression was not a popular word then. It was just like, dude, I'm just messed up right now. It's just like everything started to fall apart around me and I just didn't know where to go. But that trip, I needed that trip. And it was just like, just help me what I'm going through, be with my walk. And I knew it was real, because if you didn't believe in God, if you didn't have that inner faith, like that inner saved, like, okay, I know God's real and I know that he even died and rose again on the third day, and you know, you didn't believe in that, then you would be cold. You know, this is like, whoa, I'm shaking at 19. And every time I've gone since, the last three other times, I still have that original feeling of just like, I am not worthy to walk here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, my dad's like, you'll be all right, you'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I was like, I'll sit over there. And I was like, no, you go. Because he knew I needed it. So it was just like, okay, all right, God. And as soon as the first step, boom, I didn't even get to the wall. It was the first step. Now, the last time I went in 2016, I was able to actually go to it and start crying. And I got about this close to the wall. You know, I'm just like, okay, cool. You know, it's because it still has that. I mean, it's still, like I said, it still gets goosebumps just talking about it, because that place for me in my heart, that was where reignited
your faith.
My faith. I still struggled. I'm not going to lie. I still struggled, had my ups and downs. But that right there just confirmed that, you know what, hey, this is real. And I think what my dad's plan was the whole time for me to go was that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, parents know.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, I mean, obviously you grew up in Christianity.
Yes.
I heard you say that your faith has come in waves throughout your life, but you remember being at a comedian's thing and then he kind of prayed the sinner's prayer. You had heard it probably before. You knew the information, but something happened there. Right. And then there was a moment where you weren't like, so you had embraced it, but you're still having those waves coming and going.
Yes.
Right. And I, one of the things that I'm real big on is like these days I don't really believe too much in what I call checkbox Christianity. I posted a video about it a while back. And basically that's that idea. And we have the box on our worship response card. It says, I checked the box to receive Jesus. But when you actually look back over your story,
right,
there, it's never just that moment. It's always the whole thing. It's like, oh, my aunt and my grandma and this person and that person. And, you know, so I hear that with your faith. It's like you had all this, but then there was that moment. But then we're all in process, right? And
right.
So your faith was being formed, and you kind of in high school, you had those identity moments like about basketball, football, you know, the different sports, different things. But it sounds like that wailing wall, you really embraced that as your identity in Christ.
Yes.
Even though you had prayed the prayer and accepted Jesus, grown up in the faith, something sounds like it shifted in you. And to this day, it continues to be when you think back on that wailing wall, it's like, okay, I get what my faith is all about.
Yeah. And the thing too is that when I really, like I said, when my 20s, you know, I was in and out still. Because here's the thing you have to understand, you being a pastor and you have kids. It's one thing to go into church, but at the end of the day, that's your dad.
Yep.
Not your pastor. And that's where I struggled. Because he's my dad. It's like my dad, don't get mad, dad. All right. But at the end of the day, that's my dad. Everyone else, oh, it's my pastor. That's great. That's my dad.
My kids look at me, and the big thing I say is like, okay, kids, what do you want to do today? Do you guys want to watch dad's sermons on TV? And they always go, no!
Why?
Anytime I turn them on, they're like, dad! Yeah, I know what you mean. They already, you know, they can already tell. It's like, oh, that's dad.
Right.
You
know? But that was my transition for a while. And then my dad, he asked me to pray with people. And I was absolutely not a fan. Not a fan, because it was like, I already do enough. I felt. I didn't. But you know, this is my feelings. My sister and my mom, they win when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like, I do this. Like I did it out of obligation versus actually out of service. And that's fine, because I'm here to support my dad. This is his dream. This is his vision. This is what he wanted to do. That's what family does, right? You support him, you know, and he supported me too in a few things. So it's like, okay, you know what? It's not nothing negative. It's like, you know, it's probably good for me too. You know, it's like, all right, let's get to start shop wood, you know? And, you know, but it was that one when I turned 31, it was just like, okay, he's my dad, but I need something else. You know, and it's nothing against towards my dad, but once again, he's my dad, you know, so he just kind of just trying to, you know, kind of work my way through the water. If you know what I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I need to find something that I can, you know, at least put my teeth into it. Because, you know, when you hear enough sermons, it's kind of like, sounds like wah, 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 you know, and this is the truth. So, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I've been going to church my whole life from, you know, 40 years about, and it's like, you know, kind of gets old. So I decided to make that decision of, you know, I need to get, maybe it's not my dad, maybe it's me, which I think it was 50-50, you know, but, you know, I just started digging a little bit more. It's a little bit more, just working your way at it, chipping at it, because it's about process. It's the process. You got, you know, trust the process is what even the world says. It's like, it's true. You know, what are you doing today that you can do better tomorrow as far as your faith goes, and even just in general in life, you know? And it's like, okay, did you read your Bible today? No. Okay, well, get busy, you know, before you complain. Do this first. Try this. Baby steps. Don't try to run the marathon when you're overweight. Come on, let's start putting, you know, some metal you know, or to foot to the floor, you know. And it was just little by little by little by little, and then started praying for people. And you know, I found like a personal healing doing that for people, you know, and it was just like I did it out of obligation, but then God used that as a stepping stone, as exactly to heal me, because it's like, hey man, you know, it's you're hurting too. We can use this as that, because I mean, people I've prayed with, I mean, they can attest to it. I'd be like, I got none. I take no credit on nothing. You know, it's just, that's what put on my heart to say, you know? So, but that started helping out a little bit and helping out a little bit. And then my dad tricked me. He tricked me good. He, on our last Israel trip, he just goes and, I was with my friend Matt, who's a pastor up in the Washington State area. What's up, Matt? I'm sending this to you. He, you know, he's like, hey, and he talked to you about something. I'm like, okay, what's up? I need you to help in the church more. I'm like, oh, okay, no, right? And he's like, no. I want you to, you know, I would be mean a lot. And I'm like, oh, great, you know. And he's like, hey, are you open to teaching? I'm like, ugh. No, absolutely not, because I know the responsibility that comes with it. And I'm like, dude, I'm still trying to figure out my life right now, even though I was in my 30s. And I'm like, I'm just trying to, you know, put the puzzle pieces together of trying to figure out what I did wrong in my 20s to figure out why I'm battling in my 30s kind of thing. And he's just like, well, just think about it. And Matt's known me for, gosh, decades. So he knows who I am, and he's always in my ear all the time about it. And he just goes, well, what do you think? I'm like, I'm going to have to chew on that, man. Got to chew on that. That's a big responsibility. He's like, you know what the answer is. You just don't want to say it. And I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. No, I don't want to make that commitment, because once again, being a pastor's kid, it's like, I understand the responsibility that comes with it, you know, but I just thought about it and I was like, okay, fine. Maybe this is a lesson I need to learn for myself, and forces me to get into my Bible deeper and get busy. Right. And so it became that, you know, I was teaching once every 3 months to once every other month, to once a month. And then there was a time where I taught twice a month, you know, and it was just like, okay. And that's where I built my skills of preparation for teaching the word. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're a preacher. Oh, I'm like, whoa, easy, Seabiscuit. I'm a teacher. My goal is to make sure you learn something. That's my goal. Because anytime I've taught, it's, I'm having a conversation with you. Well, I'm having a conversation with you about what I'm struggling with, because that's the only way I can resonate with other people. I struggle with this. I struggle with that. You know, these are my fears. These are my concerns. This is what I'm going through. And like I say, you're just along for the ride for the conversation. That's what you're along the ride for. And if you want to hear it, great. You got something to say to me afterwards? Better. Because it's like, you know, I've learned that there's nothing wrong with constructive criticism. You know, and that's something that where I learned the easy way. That's one of the things I learned the easy way is, hey, it's okay. How can you study greatness if you don't look at the game tape? You know, you want to be great, got to put in the work. You know, you want to be a great athlete, you got to watch tape. You want to be the best linebacker, you got to watch what the running back, the quarterback, you know, with the offensive lines, you got, if that's what you want to do, it's what we're doing, let's do it. And that's, I put that sports analogy into it and really honed in on those skills. And then that's why I do what I do now for the men's breakfast.
That's awesome. One of the things I like to say is that a task is a tool to the heart. And we use that all the time in our ministry here. And so, you know, whatever the area of service might be, the task,
right,
it's really for us not about the task. It's about the task is the tool to get to that person's heart.
Right.
And, you know, when we're born, everyone is a baby. Someone's got to take care of you, feed you, change your diaper. You know, you get a little bigger, you can walk, but people are still taking care of you all throughout, you know, early childhood, teenage years, and you're starting to figure things out. You think you know what you're doing, but still your parents are kind of behind the scenes making stuff happen.
Right.
And they're giving you tasks,
right,
to try to see what's going to be the right fit for your heart, right? And
right.
And I see the goal of, you know, kind of spiritual maturity is to get to a point where we're self-feeding Christians who take care of our own needs, but also bless other people. And, you know, it sounds like over the course of your life that when you found that teaching gift, it gave you a way to really ignite something in your own heart, but also encourage other people.
Yeah. And we took that test, and we've talked about that test. You know the name of it. I keep forgetting.
There's a bunch of them. I'm not sure exactly which one, but I know
we've talked about where we took the test and said, where are you plugging ministry? Hey. Yeah. And of course the first one was teacher. I went, I was hoping for like background, chair seater. Yeah. Pew stuffer. Love it.
You know, although it's not in the Bible.
No, it's not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible, but no, it's,
and I think those things are helpful. Like, you know, I don't put all my stock in them personally. Like for me, it's like, I think it's a good conversation point. It's like, you know, and it'll give you an indicator, right? And it's like, oh wow, there's a high teaching gift there, you know? So it's like, oh, like I need to think about that. But at the end of the day, I look at it and it's like, okay, again, it's a tool, right? So it's like, none of them are perfect. I've had a few of them where I'm like, oh, I don't know if that one was exactly me, but
junior church babysitter. What? No.
But they're helpful. And I mean, there's right. No denying that that's, you know, been a part of your life and your journey. And I see how God's used that. And so it's really cool to me just to see how, you know, you didn't just assume your dad's shoes.
No.
From bits and pieces, I know.
No, I fought it.
It was like, you know, like,
yeah.
Love you, Dad. Love your church. But, you
it's
know.
It's your gig.
It's your thing. And yeah. So kind of God had to come at you slowly.
Yeah. I think, and he's still coming at me. He's still coming at me, and I'm still learning the lessons that, you know, I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, it's like, and the thing is, I'm very thankful that God did it this way, because it's to me, and like you said, it's spiritual maturity, you know, and it's something that as Christians, we don't really, sometimes we take some stock into it. Sometimes we don't, because we kind of get stuck on our ways. But I mean, you know, it's a refiner's fire. You know, you got to kind of get hot. You got to get a little dirty. You know, you got to swing the hammer a little bit to get yourself nice and shiny, you know. And, you know, you got to get that friction. And that's going through struggles. It's going through, you know, aches and pains of just ups and downs. And you know, being involved in ministry, it's one of those things where, you know, my buddy Matt, another shout out to him, he says ministry is the ministry of broken hearts, you know. And it's like you're dealing with people's hearts. You know, and you know, the church is a hospital, and you've said that, you know, the church is a hospital. It's a place where people get healing. People find answers. You know, it's like going to therapy. You know, it's just like a lot of things that people, when they don't want to come into the building, into church, because if I walk in, I'm going to be set on fire. I'm like, well, let me tell you something. We'll all be burning down. So it's like that, or the other one, you know, it's like, oh, it's full of hypocrites. So is the world. So yeah. Let's stop.
Yeah.
You know, chill out. That's slow down a little bit. But, you know, I think that it's, you know, I've always encouraged people, even when you're going through it. You know, when I first started coming, there was a person that was, it was our first 6 or 7 months, and he was going through it bad, like real bad. Like I started crying for him, you know, and it's just like he was looking for healing, and I think he found it, you know. But man, to see a grown man, and I'm talking 6'2", muscular, you know, grown man sitting there praising God like he had not tomorrow left, and there's just tears coming down, and I'm like, okay, I need to hug you, man. Like, I need to hug you, because I feel your pain. You know, it's a place where you get your healing, you know, either it's, you know, mental or spiritual. There's nothing like it, man. It just really isn't, you know.
He gives you what you need.
He gives you what you need. And the thing is, if you come in with that mindset of, okay, what's the lesson I'm going to learn today? What am I going to, instead of, oh, I've heard this before. Man, I have heard Noah's story a billion times. Let me tell you something. You get something out of it when you get older before you get younger. So don't ever, you know, you know, especially what we're talking about now in Jesus' life. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Especially, you know. Feeding the 5,000, the aftermath, walking on water. It's just like, because, I mean, that one specifically, sorry to bring it up, but...
No, no problem.
When you're talking about how, you know, Peter got on the water and he started walking for that one brief moment, or we don't know really how long, but he walked on it. He walked on it, right? My thing is that normally I'm like, oh, Yay, he walked on water. But then when you get older, I'm sitting there thinking, what about the other guys in the boat? Where were they at? You know, it's like, they're human just like we are. You know, he's just the one who had the guts to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the 11? You know, it's like, what were they, where are they at in their heart? Yeah. So it's just like, you know, one of those things where the Bible is such a trip, you know, from being a young child to an adult. And you just look at all these different angles at it, and you're like, oh man, it always changes. You know, it's amazing that everything that you're going through, struggling, anything that you're frustrated with, that the Bible has it in there, and it has examples of it, to where you can persevere and get through it as long as you take care of God's business. He takes care of yours.
Man, God talks to me anytime I'm faithful to open that book. I mean, you know, it's like really not rocket science, and it's sometimes it is something I've read a million times, or, you know, and sometimes it's just, I don't know, it just says something different. Like God just always, if we're looking, he's always showing something new. That's what it's the same thing with church. It's like, you can come to it looking with that critical eye of what isn't right, and this person's looking at me weird, or check out that, you know, thing on the stage. Or you can just say, Lord, I'm here to worship you, and what do you have for me? When one guy said that I was hanging out with, like, when they say, oh, you know, well, the worship didn't really do it for me today, or the message. Somebody said, well, you just tell them back. That's fine. It wasn't for you. It right? was for the Lord. So in your own journey,
yeah,
you know, so kind of grew up in the faith, solidified it in your teen years. Like you said, the faith comes in waves. You had that Israel moment where, but still, you know, and then finally you start to serve in your dad's church. And I know you did for many, many years.
Yeah, many years.
And then I think it was 2018 or 19.
Yeah.
Where, so fast forward to, you guys kind of had to make some choices with, yes, about your dad's church. Your dad was getting older. I had been there. I did a wedding at the
yes, you
your
did.
Old church mm-hmm. one time.
You did.
Freedom House Bible Church was the name of it.
Freedom
right?
Bible. Freedom
Bible Church. Bible Church. Okay. Yeah. And you guys as a family had to sit down with him and just kind of had some hard conversations. Tell me about that point in the kind of latter part of your dad's church. How did that go?
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't sitting my dad down and having the conversation with him. It was the realization that he had with us. And it was like, okay, we need to rethink about the, like, it was
getting. You had been pastoring at Faith for 27 years, right? He started it. He
started
right?
it.
And he led that church for 27 years straight.
And completely independent. There was no, it was all based on the tithing of, like, all the bills were paid through the people. I mean, my dad did not take a salary.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it
he
was,
really
it
was
as what I call it, for the love of the game. We did it for the love of the game. And it was that point where it's like, man, it's empty. You know, I had five people, not including families, or talking a total of 7 or 8, you know, and it's just like, okay, you know, when God really wants to get your attention on something, he'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, he talked to me and he's like, hey, you know, I think it's time, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do I think? I'm like, don't ask me that. Don't put that on me. You know, it's just like, I kind of, you know, he's like, well, I'm thinking about maybe you kind of taking it over. I'm like, I'm sorry, I did that. No. I mean, he was going to mentor me and he was going to get me through all that. But yeah, at that point in my life, I'm like, no, dude, I'm still battling a few things, a lot of things, you know? And it was just like, look, Dad, sometimes God gets our attention sometimes it just takes a long time to get your attention on what it's important. And I think maybe it's time that you look around and kind of go, you know what? I think it's about that time. You know, and then, you know, we ended up, you know, packing the things up, and it was very, very sad, but also relief at the same time, because my dad's been pastoring for 47?
I thought you said 42, 47 years. Something
somewhere like in there. Yeah. It's past 40. I mean, anything past 40 years, it's like, crazy. It's consistently and faithfully. Yeah. And it was like I said, you don't call in, you crawl in, you know, he had cancer treatment, and next thing you know, he's preaching, you know, it's just like, yep. I mean, that's how we're wired, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, for him it was kind of like very saddened, but it's kind of like an end of an era, but everything does come to an end. It's just, you know, how you deal with it. And then the fun began. It was like, okay, it's time to find a church. You know, that in itself was very, if I felt like I was 14 all over again. and this is my transition now to, you know, on the faith again, is where it's like, okay, I'm not mad at God on this because you know what? It was time. It was time. Held on like fingernails, like scraping, you know.
It was another thing that good community that you felt kind of maybe taken out of, sort of.
Well, it was the process.
Yeah.
It's the routine. You know, it's like, okay, Sunday is from this time to this time. This is what we're doing. Half our Sunday is consumed. Deal with it, kind of thing. It's like, okay, no, you're right. No, but it's for God. We're doing it for God. It's for the love of the game. Let's just do it, right? But then it's like, okay, now we need to find something. You know, it's like, okay, I'm 14 all over again, and we're no longer at the church that he started many, many moons ago. This is the second church. It's like, okay, I've been to other churches. My dad has not. So it's like, okay, I had to tell him, Pop, it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different. You might get, you know, and I'm pretty sure he's gone to other churches, but I'm like, Pop, it's a little different now. It's a little different. You know, it's going to feel weird because it felt weird for me. And it's like, let's go be in the pew, which we have not been in forever.
Your whole life.
Your whole life. You're just like, this is very new, you know? And it's like, all right, well, let's have some fun with it, I guess, you know? And just in the church, I mean, if you want, I'll tell the my church search story if you like. All right, sure. Let's do it. Okay. We're digging deeper. Okay. So we went to a church. Well, first we looked online. It's like, all right, that's what people do. You know, look online. And, you know, I don't care about star ratings because some of the worst star rated restaurants are the best.
Yeah.
So I was
get
like,
get an angry person that took their time to post and not the thousand that.
Yeah, the thousand were, people that are like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, so it's like, okay, we found a church. Like, oh, let's give this a shot. Went one time. Not bad. Okay. Not my kind of cup of tea, but hey, you know, who am I to judge, right? I'm like, you know, die to your flesh. Just try to enjoy it. Second time around, I was like, baptismal service. Okay, nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But when that's your whole service, I have a problem with that because I don't want to talk about baptismal. I came here for the word. I'm here for the meat, as I say it, you know. Mm. So there's that. And the third one was... it was all a fundraising thing. And I'm like, no. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe I just need a break. So I went to another church. It's another church. Still not a fan. It was a bigger church. I'm like, maybe it's a little too many people. But that's fine. Who am I? This is just go. You're not here for that. You're here to get the word. The word was not bad. I was like, okay, not bad. Good, cool. But still going through a bunch of stuff because it's like, man, we're just trying to find that transition. Just trying to find that transition. Where are we going to plug into? Or just go to where I'm not feel like I want to kill people. You know, you know, it's just like,
well, I hope no one feels that way at City Church.
What I mean by killing people is just like, you know what? I feel like when I walk in the door, they're looking at me with a smug look, like they're better than me. It's like, whoa, bro, no one's better than anybody because we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Don't make me lose my Christianity, you know? So, but that's where my heart was at the time because it was a little hardened because of the fact that, like, you know, I see my dad kind of bumming because he lost his church and all that kind of stuff. But we just started for a couple months. Just started going here, going there. Then I was like, okay, after going to a few churches, my sister was like, okay, this is the one we're going to go take a look at. Well, I decided to go to the other church. They had two services. They had an early service. We decided to go to the later service here, the 11:11. And I was like, okay. Because I was really going through a bunch of stuff at work. I was very frustrated a lot of areas because I'm like, oh, I don't understand what's going on. You know, God, like I'm praying. I'm having conversations with God. I'm mad at God. It's okay to be mad, but hey, you got to get over it sometimes. You know, you got to get over it, period, not sometimes. But it's a relationship. You know, it's not always going to be peaches and cream, right? So... what happened was is that I'm like, okay, I told my sister, I said, okay, I need to talk to the pastor. I need to talk to the pastor. Because if I can't talk to the pastor, dude, you want me, my commitment, you know, you want my commitment, I need words, you know. And sure enough, I'm going to get him. We'll get him. Because the last time we went, I'm like, okay, he's gone. He took off. Where's the pastor? Oh, we have this pastor here and that pastor. Like, that 15 pastors on the roster. I'm like, whoa, this is too many pastors. No. I want to talk to the shepherd. I'm not talking to, you know, the stable boy. You know, I want to talk to the man. So sure enough, I'm like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Right. I'm going to corner him. Right. It's so bad to say now, but still, it's where I was at the moment. It's like, 'cause I really want to have a conversation with him. I just want a couple minutes with him because I want to feel him out. That's all. Mm-hmm. I just want, hey, how are you thinking? Man, look, I just want to let you know. I love this fact. Love that. I just kind of just want to just give me 2 minutes of your time. That's all I need. I can pretty good judge a character after a couple minutes. Body language, all that kind of stuff. Sure enough, I go and I'm in the parking lot and I'm like, I really don't want to be here. I am disgusted being in this parking lot, but you made a promise that you were going to do this. You don't call in, you crawl in. Let's go. All right, let's do this. God, give me clarity. That's what I said. God, give me clarity. So I go up, go in the church, and the service was pretty good. It's a good one. Talking about Babylon and, you know, the church in Babylon and all that, you know, that story. And it's like, okay, cool. And then I'm like this. All right. Praise and worship, pastor one. Praise and worship, pastor two. Three worship pastors? All right, what do I know, right? And I see him just going to the left. I'm like, aha, got him, right? So I'm sitting there just kind of guiding him, working my way to the parking lot. And I'm like, I just want 2 minutes. All I need. I'll be nice, I promise. And next thing, he just flies by, makes a right, and he takes off. And I'm like, man, you don't even stay? That's the clarity I needed. I know it's silly. Some people say you should have gave him a chance. I'm like, no. I legitimately said, God, give me clarity. I just left and I was on my way over here. And I told my sister, like, I'm not ever going back. I'm like, I got my answer I needed. It's just too much for me. Just too much. It's just way too many moving parts. And I can't, maybe a doctor's appointment, maybe he's sick. I don't know. But I asked for clarity and I got that. So I'm just going to take it. Right. So it's like, well, you know, church is starting in a few minutes. I'm like, okay, church service number two. Okay, we got this. All right. And at that time, I didn't know I needed a four-wheel drive to park the car in the parking lot.
Which we have solved.
Which is solved. It's solved, you know. But, you know, I'm sitting there going like, ooh, rugged. Okay. It's in the neck of the woods. All right. Broadway. Okay. Right. I'm like, very nice. Walk in. You know, it was nice. It wasn't too big, you know. I was like, okay, this is okay. I like this. And then of course I see my sister and I just go straight over there. And Ken goes, oh my gosh, this is the church. I was like, man, this music just started. What do you mean this is a church? I was struggling with the kids. Got two kids. My sister has two kids. Struggling with the kids. And just one of the people just came and it was just so nice. It was such a relief. He walked me all the way to the junior church, all this, you know. I'm like, oh, because that my sister needed that. Like, it's like my sister needed some act of kindness, because not the church that I just came from, but the previous church that we were checking out was absolutely just disrespectful. And I'll share that on another time in private. I think I've already shared it, but still, not for your words. If you want to ask, I'll tell you. But anyway, I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right, well, good. I mean, my main focus was finding a church where my family liked it.
Yeah.
I could care less at this point. I'm like, dude, I'll just go on my Bible and I'll figure it out. And I mean, because at the time, watching church on TV, not my cup of tea at all. I like going.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, I'm like, I love the fact getting up and getting ready for church. There's just something nostalgic about it that I love. I love it. I love the process. I love it. It's like, okay, I'm going to get up today. And the reason why I'm not sleeping in is because I want to give God some time. Mm. You know, for me, that's healing for me. Mm. So we got in there. Sure enough, music was great. And then you come up. And then my sister goes, that's the guy. That's the guy who helped me. So, you know, because of your act of kindness, which you do all the time. I'm not going to understate it. You do it. I think it's just because it's a natural part of you. You know, it's just like, you're just naturally kind. And I appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
You know, that kindness, that sold my sister. Mm. And then the kids were like, oh, we kind of like it. I'm like, okay, good. You know, it's like, all right, now we get mom and dad here. You know, it's like, because they were going to another church to check it out. I mean, some Sundays we went together, some days we didn't. Some days I didn't even go at all. I'm like, nope, heart's not in the spot, which is the wrong thing. I should have just went anyway, because my heart wasn't in the right spot. But still struggling a little bit. But, you know, that act of kindness, you know, really sold my sister. And then you taught. And I was like, okay, excuse me, Mike, I like the meat. This is what I need. It's not what I want. This is what I need. right? And you beeline it over to us. Wait, was this the first time or the second one? It was the first time we brought my parents.
Yeah.
First time we brought our parents. But you did come by and say hi and shook hands, which I was like, I didn't have to hunt down the pastor? Okay, we're getting somewhere. Okay, God. Okay, you're softening the heart.
That's so cool.
It's beautiful. And then brought my parents in, and you know, you were familiar with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you kind of knew the kind of the history of what was going on and, what's going on. So, you know, it was kind of like a nice little, you know, fun little chat. And then it's like, you know, we're kind of sold on it, but someone wasn't sold on it. And we've talked about it. And, sure enough, here we are now, a few years later. And mm-hmm. Here's the funny part is that we made the decision to come to the church. And then we started going, and we started getting semi a little bit involved. Then COVID hit, and I was just like, "Really, bro?
Yeah,
really." But then here's the funny thing, and this is what it wasn't. I don't know if it was my mom or my sister. It was one of the two. They said, "Imagine dealing with COVID while still having the church open."
Hmm.
Excuse me.
Hmm.
It would have killed us.
It had been really hard.
It's not hard. It would have. Financially, we wouldn't have survived.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's a reality.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, you know, with that being said, me now getting involved in church, because I was heavily involved, you know.
Yes.
And I was told, he's back.
Yes.
He's back. No. I got to work through it.
Well, I think it's so cool just to see that whole journey and, you know, knowing, you know, a little bit of what you guys had been through. I was obviously very thankful that you found a home here. But one thing that I tell a lot of people, and hope if you've been around me, you've probably heard me say this, is that selfishly, I want everyone to go to my church. But
excuse me.
In reality, I care more about your overall spiritual well-being,
right?
That you find what's right than that you go to my church. But selfishly, I still want you to go to my church.
Right.
And you know, and I think we do a lot of good here, but at the same time, I know like we're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And I remember saying that to like one of your family members that day. And so it's just been so cool. And I think we formed a friendship.
Absolutely.
That's been, I love that. And I love seeing how you continue to have that heart to serve and be used of God wherever it is, whatever the need is.
Yes.
And we're so grateful for that. Like our team, we experienced the blessing of it many times. And I just, it's cool to see how, you know, that really has just been part of your whole life journey.
Yeah. And it's still, and he's still, like I said, God's still working on me in a lot of things that I would like to do, but I know that now I've learned that it's in his timing, not yours.
Hmm.
You know, it's God's plan, not your plan. You can set all the plans you want. I had plans in my 20s. I had plans in my 30s. Plans in, you know, my 40s. And it's like, okay, I would like to do this. This is what I'd like to do. But me knowing, like, me very, not want to say completely connected to God, but God has a tendency to get my attention a lot because with my multiple communications, praying, you know, being very aware of what's, you know, what's going on inside me, is that he will put me in the place I need to be when I need to be in it. But in order for me to be helpful there, I need to experience this and that, you know, because I know it's in the long run, it's going to be a testimony for, you know, for what God has done in my life.
Yeah. Kind of a confirming process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing too, is that it's just being mature spiritually enough to be patient, because I'm an impatient human being. I mean, that's just reality. I am a problem solver at work. I'm a go guy. I'm 110 miles an hour, and then I just peter out. You know, that's always how I've always been. You know, so I'm learning now to kind of, let's idle at 70 for now. You know, just, you know, and I've learned to kind of take a step back and like breathe. You know, because it's like, no, we got to do this, and no, we got to do that, and no, your leg's broken. Who cares? You know, it's just like. But I mean, that's, like I said, that's what I feel, that's why I take ministry extremely serious, sometimes too serious, because it's in my fiber and it's important. I think that's the most thing, is that, you know, when you serve, it's up to be of service, but you got to make sure your heart's right in order to get the benefit for doing the service.
That's good. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
100%.
Carl, thanks for coming.
Absolutely, my
pleasure.
You're
going to be seeing this guy around quite a bit more in here. So anyway, glad you're here today.
Oh, I'm blessed. Thank you.
We'll give everybody a see you next time.
See you next time.